First Thessalonians this morning. I'm so happy you're here with us. The church at Thessalonica was probably one of the model churches, which is saying a lot, in the first century. And because a lot of the other churches all had, pretty significant problems. But there's no... Paul, when the epistle of Thessalonians is presented, there is no real error that Paul is talking to them about. He just tells them to love more, speak the word more, stay more faithful, because they don't have any real issues. And... it's also a great and wonderful example to us as how we can minister to people, how we are to present ourselves to them. We have great examples in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But also the Apostle Paul is a great example. And so I thought we'd go through some of this and point these things out as we see them. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, there's three of them that are there, unto the church of Thessalonica, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Three things he points out as he prays and he remembers these people. And I thought, if those three qualities were in all of God's people, What a pleasant and beautiful, wonderful church it would be, Their faith, their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. You're called. You're not just some schlep. That's an old word, right? You are called of God. Now, God lives in all eternity. The universe can't hold him. He made the universe. Like Brielle and I are going to make some stuff later on. The maker doesn't live inside of the thing he makes. Right? God is so large, so huge, so big, he lives well beyond the universe that he made. It says he inhabits eternity, all the past, the present, and the future. Sort of boggles my mind how big the Lord is. And I can't quite stretch my brain around it all. But I know that I have to stretch it some to appreciate the magnificence of my God. You are called by him. He, for some reason, and believe me, he wanted me. And I accepted what he said in the gospel. I believed that my Lord and Savior came and died for me. I believe God sent him. I believe God got him up from the dead. And because I believe that, he has made me and you his child. And you just heard words in the prophecy of how loving, caring, providing, assuring he is towards his children. He doesn't mess around. And he wants his people to know it, understand it, and live large in their hearts with this truth. You know, you can live, you know what I mean by live large? I mean, whoa, this is great. You know? In other words, it's not, oh yeah, I'm a nice little Christian. No, live this thing. You are called. For our gospel came down unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. This is how they walked in. He's going to say, you know what kind of guys we were. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. These believers heard the word, and then they got persecuted because they believed it. And yet they had a lot of joy. I think people have a bad time, I'm having a bad day. Suck it up, will you? Stop it. How can you have a bad day? God is your Father. Whatever you ask Him, He will help you with. Okay, we all make mistakes. We do stupid things. We set ourselves back at times. But God will deliver. He will help. He will be there with you till the end. And then He's going to give you eternity. So, how bad can your day be? If you keep your calling large in your mind. And if you don't, then, you know, you don't. And these believers, they became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. These people in Thessalonica were examples. Thessalonica is a Greek church. They were examples to everybody in the region. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. I don't need to add anything to this. You speak the word, you live large, you've been an example to everyone in the whole region. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had among you. They lived the same way Paul lived with them, because they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, you know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain, but that after that we suffered and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi. You know, when Paul went to the book of Philippians, when he went to Philippi first time around, they beat him, threw him in prison, basically left him for death. I mean, this is, how would you like, follow me, you'll get beaten. The Thessalonians saw it. And, you know, whatever Paul, when he walked into town, and it says, I didn't come to you just with words, I came to you with the power of God. What Paul did for those people when he walked into town with his boldness and his love and his care, it knocked their socks off, and they wanted to follow, even though this man had just been so treated so shamefully, had been beaten, you know, and thrown out of town. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention. Much contention, with a good fight. That's what that much contention means. In other words, he was speaking the Bible like this was a good fight. Nobody going to stop me from talking. Nobody going to stop me from telling you the truth. Not you or me. Now, can't contrast that with so many people that maybe, you know, the people that have made a difference in your life as far as teaching Scripture. They speak boldly, plainly, simply. Right? I mean, I'm not using words, that are over anybody's head. I'm reading what this says. I explain it as simply as I can. But I'm not trying to impress you intellectually, right? But you've heard preachers that want to do that. It's their thing, not mine. When Paul walked in, he didn't do that. He laid it out simple. But he did it with the power of God in his life. And it says here in verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, for our exhortation. And he also did it with a good fight. I mean, that was the last point. He really did it with boldness. He was fighting for the word going out. Wasn't, would you please believe me? It was, hey, believe what I'm telling you. It says, for our exhortation was not of deceit. It wasn't with half-truths or uncleanness or in guile. He wasn't trying to trick somebody, bait and switch. He wasn't trying, like Jesus Christ didn't do this either. Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, when he spoke to the people for the first time, he tells them, you're going to suffer. He says, you believe what I'm teaching you here? He says, just like they persecuted the prophets before you, they're going to persecute you. This is lesson number one. Now, that's not the way we sell people products, is it? You want them to buy your car, you don't tell them what's going wrong with it. You tell them how your grandmother drove this thing and never took it out except on Sundays. That would be deceit, half-truths, lies. Paul didn't present the word that way. He told them straight up. He told them the truth. He told them with boldness. See, because those who are called hear. Remember Jesus Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow. You don't have to ease folks into it. You're loving, you're kind, you're plain, you're simple, you're straightforward. But you don't have to trick them into it. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. We didn't speak to you to please you. I don't try to speak to you on Sundays to please you necessarily. I don't try to hurt your feelings, but I don't do this for you. Do this for him. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. I didn't try to flatter you. Didn't try to entice you. Didn't try to hide anything from you. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. I didn't take anything from you when I was with you. It wasn't to put money in my own pocket. But we were gentle among you, even as a nursing mother cherisheth her children. That was his demeanor. That was his attitude. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own lives, our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel, and you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. They didn't take license because, you know, sometimes when people get so close, they start acting, you know, chummy, you know, and then they take liberties with other, with the people that they love that they really shouldn't take. You know, families do this a lot, you know, where you walk into a stranger's home, you're very polite and nice and watch what you're doing. You walk into a family's house and everybody does stupid stuff and annoys the people there. Do you ever notice sometimes that happens? Why would anybody want to be so sloppy? Because that's really what it comes down to. It's being sloppy. Mentally, emotionally. Paul, when he walked into town, he was what he was. He was gentle among them like a nursing mother. He still spoke straight up. Those words before this, they weren't harsh, but they were straight. It says, and you are witnesses, verse 10, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. He walked a holy life before them, a just life before them, unblameable. That's pretty incredible. That takes discipline. And that, I guess that's the best word I can come up. That takes discipline to present yourself and your life. It's, you know, you build it as a habit, but you choose, I'm going to be disciplined in the way I act and live rather than be sloppy. And we all know exactly what that means. But it's a choice. And like I said, husbands and wives, they're sloppier with each other than they would be with anybody else, right? But if you didn't allow yourself, then I tell you what, everybody, and what are we talking about? Living lovingly rather than selfishly? Because that's what I mean by sloppy. You know, I don't feel like helping you right now. I'm just going to help me. You follow, if I assume you get it, you know. Right, Brielle? Like you're going to help me pull the weeds later? And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. You got both parents in there, nursing mother and a good dad. Exhorted, charged, and comforted as a father does the children. And the whole point in verse 12 is that you, the believers, would walk worthy of God who called you unto his kingdom and glory. That was the point. Paul walks into town. This is how he acted. This is how he talked. This is what he did so that people would come to walk worthy of God who hath called them unto his kingdom and glory. You know, and so I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2. He tells this young minister, Timothy, how to act and what to watch out for when he deals with the people in the areas, right? Because Paul's coming to the end of his life, and he's going to say to this younger man, you're going to take up the ball, and you're going to deal with these people. Now, think about what he said here in Thessalonica. These people in Thessalonica accepted the truth, and they walked it, right? It says, so here in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings. Don't let this be, you know what a profane and vain babbling is? We call it, you know, BS. Okay? For they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat at the canker, as like gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Phygellus. These are two guys that are immortally written in Scripture who are gangrene to the church. And how they... Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and have overthrown the faith of Son. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal... The Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet adequate for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. When an individual walks the word, when they do the word, they are an individual that God can work in, an individual of honor that God can work in, and do what God wants done in this world, just like he did with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Apostle Paul. But just because they're in the house, not every vessel, not every individual is an individual of honor. Right? And the same thing within the church. Hymenaeus and Phygellus here were two gangrene kind of people. And yet they were still there. Yeah, not everybody in my church believes. Some just there for the cookies. Cookies. And it's the truth. And not everybody sticks around a lifetime. Some people are here for a short period of time. Some people for longer. But the point is, people are different. And it's what you do with the word that you hear that makes the difference. Right? So, if an individual studies the word and they purge themselves from the evil and the vain janglings and the garbage that's in life, then it says here again, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, this love of God, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolishness and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that these do gender strife. See, that not every, you don't have to appease everyone in the church. People come up with stupid and unlearned questions. They just want to, you don't have to deal with it. You don't have, avoid it. Avoid it. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Strive is, he can't be embattled. You know, everybody wants to argue. You don't need to be embattled with everyone. But be gentle unto all men, able to teach, patient, in mercy, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, when somebody's doing something that's ungodly and going to cause them hurt and pain, the individual has meek with meekness, not lording over and saying, I'm better than you. With meekness, you instruct them because they oppose themselves, just hurting themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. People fall into it, and they are captive of the adversary and of what's going on. Even in the church. It's not talking about the unbelievers outside. Paul's instructing Timothy, who is a young leader who's going to run the church. And this is what happens sometimes in the church. The unbelievers don't talk to me. They could care less of what's going on. You know, you got people who are wise, doing their best to do the word. You got people who are trying to learn. You got people who, they got an attitude. They already know everything. You got all kinds, right? We got all kinds in our families. We got all kinds everywhere. But so I try to help an individual if they need help. But if they don't want to listen, I don't need to listen to all their vain janglings. I do it with meekness, instruct them. Hey, but it's your life. You know, there's an old saying back when, you got to roll your own. You know, you can make your own bed and live with it, right? You pay your bills, I pay mine. We can try to help, but if the individual wants it, they'll get deliverance. They'll hear the word and be delivered out of the hand of the adversary. If not, they won't. It's all up to them. All up to them. Paul instructed God's people with gentleness, meekness, like a mom and dad taking care of a child. At the same time, he did this with boldness. He didn't speak to please them. He did it to please God. And when someone was in trouble, with great meekness, he would tell them what God's word said and try to help them turn the thing around. But if they didn't accept it, can't do a blessed thing for you. And that is the plain and simple truth. Nobody's browbeaten into believing. They hear the word. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And you guys know this because you've heard it at bad times in your own life. You've heard the word and then you got convicted in your own heart. Nobody browbeat you into it. You get convicted in your own heart because the Lord is within you. He's the one that motivates us to do his word, to do his will. And we are also the ones who stubbornly don't do it. And we fight this war in our head. Oh, you know what's right. Oh, I don't care. You know what's right. I don't care. So when we deal with each other, when we deal with each other, what's my job? What's my job? We are ambassadors for Christ, right? We speak the word in Christ's stead. And we ask people, teach them and talk to them, be reconciled to God. Come to God. Believe the gospel. And we do it with boldness. We're not timid about this thing. But it's with the love like a good parent would have, mom and dad would have, trying to get their kid to do the right thing. You know, just we'll close it out here in chapter 4, 2 Timothy, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. You know what that means? All the time. When it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You can see this all the time. You know, people search for churches where they agree with what's going on. It's like having cancer, and then I want to go to the doctor who tells me I don't have it because I don't want to hear about it. Now, if you want God's word, find somebody who just basically teaches and preaches what it says and reads what's written. You got a whole heck of a lot better chance than someone who is reading poetry and talking about Santa Claus at Christmas, which I've heard. Go to church and listen to the preacher talk about anything and except what's in the Bible. You know, they'll read one verse and talk for an hour about what, who cares what you think? I can read a verse and think about stuff too. Who cares? Teach me what it says. You know, if I'm wrong, I'm just reading what it says. Maybe I'm not correct on this point or that point. Maybe, you know, I am. But you can listen and read it for yourself and make up your mind. Will this make sense or not? But if nobody reads you what the Bible says, then what is the point? And people have itching ears. I want to hear the thing I want to hear. I want to hear the thing I agree with. And if I don't agree with it, then I don't want to have nothing to do with it, whether it's good information or not. And they do it out of their own lusts. I had counseled with a woman. I mean, it was not long. This counseling didn't last long. She didn't really want to hear what I, you know, I said to her. I said, "Well, I can't really counsel with you on marriage unless it's you and your husband." She says, "Well, he don't gonna come." I said, "Well, then I can't help you because I need two of you to work something out." And then she started yelling at me and this and that and the other thing, and I mean, really getting into it. I said, "Who the heck are you talking to?" And she says, "Well, I already know all of that stuff in the Bible." Well, I said, "Well, then I can't help you because it's all I talk about is what's in the Bible." And I said, and if you don't like, please go do me a favor and go find another church to go to. Because I don't need you. And you know, so I sent her off to someplace else. But she's already been to 10 other churches before she came to me. It's let me hear what I want to hear. Unless you're going to agree with what I think, I don't want to hear nothing else. There are people like this. That's why when you read these verses, you speak the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Just speak what the word says. Because there's coming a time, and it's already here, where a lot of people don't want to hear what this says. And they want to hear what they want to hear. Go. Have fun, because it ain't going to work out too well. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Love, speak plainly, simply. Use the examples of Jesus and Paul and how they dealt with people. But when you talk the word to someone, speak the unvarnished truth. Not with a chip on your shoulder, but like a mom and dad would talk to their kids to direct them in the right way. You know? And don't let yourself get embattled with vain, stupid things. This fellowship is about God and His Word. You know, we can talk about other things once in a while, but it's about God and His Word. The church is about God and His Word. You know, so love you all. So, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercies. Thank you for all that you have given to us and done for us. We praise you, Father, and we ask you that you give us the wisdom to walk this way. That Paul was such a wonderful example to speak the word with such plainness and beauty to work within us, Father. And I ask you, Father, that also that we can confirm when we're doing it right, that you confirm it with the power of the Spirit within us. I love you and praise you. I ask you for your blessing on everyone, the food that we're about to receive. For those who give, Father, I thank you for multiplying it back to them as they give for the outreach of your word. And I thank you for these great and wonderful things and a beautiful day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.